G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. I'm your host, Graham Curry, from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilos or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss now for over a year. I wanted to bring this series of podcasts to you to give you an insight into what that journey has been like. I also wanted to give you some information about intermittent fasting, talk to people that are doing it, and bring in some experts in the field, including some leading authors of some great books about the subject. Talk about the highs, the lows, the triumphs, the celebrations, the negatives, the positives, and everything in between. Nothing is a silver bullet, as they say, but intermittent fasting is about the closest thing that you can get to a perfect health plan with a side effect of weight loss. So sit back in the next few weeks and enjoy life on the fasting highway with us. Thank you. G'day, and this is episode 14. So today I'm very thrilled and honoured to have with me Star McEwen. Star has seen some trials and tribulations in her life, which for most people would be hard to get over, but that she has, and she's gone on to become a leading light in the international intermittent fasting community. So here to tell us all about that journey today is the amazing and inspiring Star McEwen. Oh, g'day, Star, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I sure appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to have you here, Star. You're somebody I admire very much, and you're a very inspirational young woman, and I'm sure people are going to get a lot out of your story. But, Star, we'd like to start off here at the Fasting Highway. If we could just get a little bit of your backstory and what any problems you had with weight and diets that you'd been on in your life leading up to intermittent fasting.
Sure. Well, I always like to kind of start out on the podcast and hear everybody's stats. So I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody how old I am and how tall I am, because everybody always seems to like to know that. So I am 38 years old and I'm about 5'5". It's give or take a little bit more sometimes, but, so those are my stats. Throughout my life, I mean, I've always thought that I had a handle on my weight or whatnot, but really the more that I've been diving into IF and everything, I've really realized that I think I've had, issues with my weight since I was younger, but I handled them younger or differently when I was younger. So, I think I was a normal size kid and everything. I kind of started getting, a chubby or whatnot at that age that everybody does, and struggled a little bit there. And then I kind of got to the extreme. I kind of had a dad that was extremely hard on me and, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but extremely hard on me. And it kind of pushed me all the way to the opposite side of the spectrum. And when I was in about eighth grade, I became anorexic and bulimic. And I was about 98 pounds. And my mom was getting ready to kind of send me away to a place that we have here in Arizona. And it was a place for anorexic and bulimic people to go to. So, that was kind of a really big wake up call there. and I struggled there. I went to a counselor, I went to a nutritionist. I never ended up having to go to that facility because it scared me so bad when I went there and had to tour it and seen everybody hooked up to IVs. I just in my head was like, I am not this bad. I'm not going to get this bad. And, so I really kind of needed to make some sort of change. But what basically happened is I got pregnant at 16. That pretty much saved my life is, how I look at that blessing. And so I got pregnant with her. I, got healthier. I did gain a ton of weight when I got pregnant with her, 'cause I was basically anorexic, bulimic, very skinny. Got pregnant and I just ate and I knew I was going to needed to eat for this baby. And man, did I eat, and I gained like 70 or 80 pounds, but I had her and I was 17 when I had her. So all the weight just basically kind of came off. I got married a few years later. She was about 4. I had 3 more kids. I was always quote unquote fit and healthy this entire time. Always worked out, did the mom thing, went on walks, you know, with the other family moms, went to the park, that kind of stuff. But I never really, I did the at home workouts. I did everything you could think of, the Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, all those type of P90X, all the workout plans that you could do at home, Zumba, just all those different things. Did all that throughout my baby raising years or whatnot. And then I, but sustained a pretty normal, like I said, weight throughout the rest of those pregnancies. But I always kind of still have struggled a little bit in the back of my head and mind and whatnot with keeping a handle on, you know, like the bulimia and anorexia. I think it's something that's just always a part of you. And now that I've been so much more farther in my journey, I'll kind of get to where I feel like why I feel like my walk of life has led me through everything. But, so I went through a divorce in 2009. I went through a divorce. Yeah, it was in 2009. Got remarried in 2010. And, kind of became, got real into back into like the fitness stuff. And so that kind of became a real big, the kids were starting to go to school. So I kind of needed something that was out of the house and got me out of the house. Like I kind of joined the gym, started doing the CrossFitting and the strength training on top of that. Plus I was a Zumba instructor. So, I mean, I was gone from the home for like, I mean, my kids weren't home because they were all in school, but I was gone for 4 hours in the morning every day with all this working out that I was doing and plus the time travel to get there and whatnot. And then about 5 or so years ago, we decided to build a house, and then we had some other big, huge life-changing things that happened in our life. And it kind of pushed me to like feel the need that I needed antidepressants and feeling the need that I just couldn't handle things, or I just felt out of control. So I think getting on those antidepressants kind of were maybe something that made the weight come on as well. But at the same time is when I started building our house, and I stopped working out because I couldn't do all of it at the same time anymore. So I don't know if it was because of, you know, getting on the antidepressants that made the weight gain, or if it was just a combination of getting on those and quitting exercising. But then I basically just kind of, I don't know, I just quit exercising kind of one day. It just seemed like too much. My knees, everything was hurting me, every joint. And so I just kind of had enough and was just tired. And so but the weight just year after year in these last 5 years just slowly kept like creeping on. And I was trying to go back to my old ways. I was even almost going to revert back to just, I'm just going to be anorexic. I'm just not going to eat. Cause that worked for me when I was, you know, 13. So let's try that again. Cause everything else I had done up until that point in my life, for some reason, wasn't working. Like I had been out of the exercising boat for a lot of years, but I had even tried to get back into it and I couldn't. My lower back would seize up. My knees would hurt. I would just cry and sit on the couch and be like, how am I supposed to try to get back in the gym when I can't even walk down the road without my back killing me? And I didn't know why it was hurting. I didn't know why it was seizing up. I'm a massage therapist as well. So I'm like, I didn't know if I was having sciatic nerve pain. I didn't know what was going on and what was the cause of it, but things were just spiraling bad. Nothing else worked. Of course, I didn't go back to anorexia or bulimia. Yep. That was a half joke, but, so that's kind of brought me. So it's just been this kind of big roller coaster. And I gained about 70 some pounds in those last 5 years. And then so I came upon intermittent fasting, August 22nd, 2019. And that's about when I was at my wit's end. I had a really hard summer. Probably the worst summer of my life. And I was really wanting to get off the antidepressant pills because I was feeling like they were dragging me to a deep, dark hole. And so I kind of was getting off of those, slowly weaning myself off of those the same time that I had a friend tell me about the book Delay, Don't Deny by Jen Stevens. And so I was like, I don't know why. I don't know why that this particular time and what she said has sparked my interest. Because for one, I'm not a book reader whatsoever. So for someone to tell me to read a book, that's like flying a kite. I'm probably not going to do it. I don't know. Like it's just something that I don't do. But for some reason, when she said that, I was at such a dark spot that I'm like, well, nothing else is working. I have tried to go back to shakes. I used to sell those shakes where I try to get everybody to do the meal replacement shakes. And I tried all those. I tried going back to those within these last, 5 years, tried doing that. Those wouldn't work. I mean, nothing was working to make the weight come off. So when she told me about the book, I was like, okay, I guess I'll get that book. And so she had told me about it in July. It took me a few weeks to download it and listen to it. But then after I listened to it, I was just, I don't know, it was just light bulb moments were going off in my head as I was reading it. And then I just kind of hit the ground running ever since then.
Wow, that's some story, Star. That's fantastic. And what a journey. And I mean, I'm a bit like you with the book Delay Don't Deny. I'm not a book reader at all myself. And what I really loved about that book was how simple it sounded. And I thought to myself, I can really do this. This is something I can do. All I need to do is delay in a day when I eat, not so much deny everything, but just delay so I can give myself that time for this to work. So when you first started IF Start, what did your window look like and what was your fasting protocol and how did you actually choose that?
Well, I actually choose mine by just going off of what Jen did. So in her book, she said that she did OMAD, and she said she had done about a 4 to 5 hour window. So at the end of the book, I was kind of like, well, I don't know how to start this, but I'm just going to basically do what she did, and I'm going to try for the 1 meal a day. See, I'm not a breakfast person. I don't really like breakfast. It was always something I kind of would force upon myself or tell myself I had to have, because we've been taught that for our entire lives that you have to have, breakfast and your brains don't work. I mean, I've drilled that in my kids for I don't know how many years, and now I'm like backtracking where I'm like, oh, are you not hungry? Okay, that's okay. Tell me when you're hungry. Listen to your satiety hormones. I'm
Yeah.
like trying to teach them that now, because before it was like, no, you're sitting at that dinner table till your food's all gone. And just listening, I've listened a little bit. I haven't got through the whole book of Dr. Fung's book, but I've been listening to his book and just listening to him say, that we all have that hormone. We're born with it. And like he says, have you ever tried to feed a baby that is full? You're not going to be able to feed a full baby. They just literally will not open their mouths. And it's not because they've had 1200 calories and they're full. It's because they're just satisfied and they don't need any more. And that was such a light bulb type thing for me where I was like, wow, like that's makes so much sense. I've had enough babies to know that you can't feed a baby if it doesn't want to eat. And so I don't know, that was like one thing that just made so much sense to me. But yeah, so starting off, I just told myself if I can just, I don't like breakfast anyway. So if I just nixnay that, I just told myself if you can get yourself to like 1 o'clock is like a good hour to start out with in the day or whatnot. So, because I would always usually have lunch and dinner. Well, and of course, I grazed all day, but those were my main meals. So I just thought, well, if I can kind of move to that. And, I like to think that I started off with OMAD. But maybe it was more like OMAD and a bigger type snack and then a treat. I don't know. It changed so much because I just remember me trying to get to 1 o'clock and it usually was no problem. Like I feel real bad for people that start off, and they're like, having a bit of a hard time. And like if they tell me they're like white knuckling it and stuff and ask if I ever had that problem. I definitely have my days that I quote unquote white knuckle it. I don't want to say it's a white knuckling. It's more like I'm bored. It's only 2. I usually don't eat till at least 5 or so, but I'm bored. So it's more like something like that where I just have to keep myself going. So if I keep myself going and if I keep busy, like so I still have those times where you're gonna get hungry or you want to have more, but I just that's when I just tell everybody, and they probably I have my own little group that I started, a local group here in town, but we started it on Facebook, just a little small group, and I always tell everybody, listen to your body, and they probably get real tired of me saying that, but it's truly, truly like what you need to do. Like, I cannot stress that enough. And it's one of those things maybe that until you're there and until you know, like, you won't know until you know, and then like type of thing. 'Cause it's like now when I like listen to my body, and I might have days where I'm like, wow, Star, you're really eating a lot today. Like, why are you not stopping after that meal? And then I have to ask myself, well, am I eating because I'm just continuing to eat because I'm kind of still bored because I already had my one meal, so why am I still snacking? But then if I ask myself, like, well, I didn't eat that much yesterday, or I didn't get that much protein yesterday, so that's probably why I'm still feeling a little bit hungry, even though I just had my one meal, when normally my one meal will sustain me. And I think that's a hard thing for people to grasp. They just always think that, you know, I got to do what she's doing, and if she said that she did this window, then I got to do that window. But like, my window every day, every single day changes, and I honestly want to say it did the entire time, you know, like it really did.
That's great, Star. So I can really resonate with you about the white knuckling. I mean, I'm 3 years into this lifestyle, and there's certainly days where I still white knuckle to my window. And like you said, the best thing to do is to keep busy. And just for you comers out there or people listening to the podcast, what Star's talking about, the OMAD, that's one meal a day. So for the OMAD, for some people, Star, that consists of, like for myself, I sort of treat it as like going to a restaurant where I'll have an entree or a small snack. Then a bit later, I'll have a main meal. And some days I might have dessert and close off with coffee, or even some days just with a little cheese board. Is that sort of what you do, or is it just more of just a one main meal?
No, that's exactly what I do. I've told people that, and I always try to explain the one meal a day like that, because people will always say, you're really just having one meal a day. And I say, yes, but that doesn't mean I'm only eating one time a day. That is my main meal. So I always do make sure that that particular meal is very nutritious. It has, you know, some really good proteins in it and fats and carbs. And are they always that way? No, they're not. Sometimes there's way more fats than there is, and there's way more processed than there should be, but it all balances out. And I think that's the thing that everybody needs to relax with this. And I think that's the hardest thing to grasp, though, is that everything we've ever tried has been so hard. And this is so incredibly easy that people want to make it hard. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And you can overcomplicate things, Star.
Yes,
And I find
yes.
that a lot with people that I help. They tend to try and make it difficult. And I say, look, it's a very simple process. You fast for a period of time, you eat in the window, you stop, and then you repeat, and you do the same thing the next day. Nothing could be, to see, the thing is, and I'm sure you agree, the actual doing of intermittent fasting isn't all that hard. It's the mental part of getting your head around that you are only going to be eating that one time a day, where, as you say, you're used to a life where you've been eating three, four, five, six times a day. And that takes a bit of doing. And so, with mindset, Star, how did you prepare yourself and get yourself in that space to be able to do this?
I think that I was at such a point in my life where I needed something. I needed something to help me feel better, something to help the inflammation and the pain and everything to stop. And when I listened to Jen's book, and it sounded so simple, and so many light bulb things went off, and I was like, okay, this is everything right now in life feels like it's spiraling out of control. You need to get your health under control, and you know, let's try this last thing. Like, this is something so easy. Like, you're strong enough, you have a strong enough mindset to do this. So you need to just get your head around it, and you just like, you know that you've been anorexic, so you definitely know you can go without eating. So it's like, okay, we've got that behind us. So then I'm like, okay, now, so my thing that I feel like God in life, puts us through all these things. And at the time, we never know why. And we may never, in the very end, know why to some things. But I feel like for some reason, I struggled with anorexia and bulimia as a 13, 14-year-old girl. And I had to go through all that and everything. Then, as a middle-aged woman, or whatever you want to call, I don't know what that's called, but 35-ish, I went through what in the world is happening to my body? All this weight is coming on, and I can't get it to come off. Now I'm obese. So I went from being anorexic and super skinny and somewhat fit and everything my whole life. And then now all of a sudden, after I've clear done having babies, I'm all of a sudden obese and 207 pounds, literally, which felt like a snap of the fingers. And then now it's like I have found IF. And now it's like, so now I have all this, like, because before I feel like, if someone would come to me and, well, I've had an eating disorder, so you probably wouldn't understand. Well, no, actually, I perfectly do understand. Or if somebody that's big, it's like, well, you don't know how I feel. No, actually, I do know how you feel. Did you feel like you wanted to kill yourself every day? I do know how you felt. Like, believe me. And so I feel like that I needed to walk through all these things and come out stronger. And so that's kind of why my little motto is like, I'm a phoenix, because I feel like I have gone through so much fire, to try to come out stronger and come out on the other side. And every time I think that I'm pretty much just gonna die and that's it, like something happens and I kind of get a little bit more fire in me and come back to life. And I feel like, unbelievably grateful for Jen for writing her books and putting this out there, and for my friend for telling it to me, because I feel like, IF just brings it just opens up so much more. It's gotten me off all my medications. I was having to be on thyroid medication because they told me that's why I was getting fat and putting on weight and had no energy, because my thyroid was a mess. And now I don't take that anymore. And high cholesterol medication, I was on that. I'm not on that anymore. Like, there's so many different and many more non-scale victories, but it's just something that is an absolute way of life. So when people say, oh, wait, I get inboxes all the time, okay, I'm gonna start again on Monday. And I'm like, start what again? Because this isn't something that we start and we stop. This is something that you do every day. And so my advice to people is always like, your goal every single day, every day is a new goal, every day. So your goal every single day should just be to clean fast. And whatever time you get to is just the bonus. So if you're like, I'm really not a breakfast person, I'm gonna just try to get till noon and then I'm gonna enjoy lunch, great. And when you get to noon, pat yourself on the back. Like, that's the other thing I love about IF is like, it's every day there's like a victory. Where when you're on a diet, it feels like every day is a failure. When you're either dieting or exercising, every day is a failure. Because if you go to the gym and you have a bad workout session, then you feel like you're a failure because you had a bad workout session and didn't do good in the gym today. And then if you don't go to the gym, then you feel like a failure because you just didn't go, period. And then if you're on a diet and you don't eat your diet, then you feel like a failure. But then if you do eat your diet, you're absolutely miserable. I mean, everything, it's like, I don't know. It's like IF is so mind-blowingly easy that I feel, like I said, I feel like people do really, really try to complicate it, and they just need to tailor it to their life, and that's it. Because if you just tailor it to how your life works, like, I can't tell, Joe or Nancy or whatever what to do, because I don't know. Like, my first thing when I'm trying to help people is, tell me about your day. What's your favorite meal? What meal do you like to work around? What meal do you work around with your family? Because sometimes, just because dinner worked great for me, that might not work great for somebody else because their schedule's totally different. So when I tell people, be flexible and move it, like, absolutely, it's just so easy.
You mentioned the clean fast there, Star. Can you just explain to people how vitally important the clean fast is and why it's so much better than dirty fasting?
Certainly. Now, I started out clean fasting because I started out with Jen's book. So I just automatically was like, okay, I'm only having water or coffee. And I tried the tea, but it makes my stomach upset. So I just can't have it. But every once in a while, I do the coffee. So clean fasting just means that every day your goal is just to clean fast, meaning you are not having anything outside of your eating window other than water. With absolutely no flavoring in it, no lemon, no fresh lemon, no peppermint oil in it, nothing like that, just regular water. And you can have black coffee, and it has to be unflavored coffee. That's very important. And you can have the any kind of not any kind, but unsweetened black tea and green tea. Now, those are considered clean during fasting because they do not spike the insulin. So that's the whole goal during fasting is we're trying to keep our insulin way, way low so we can actually penetrate to the fat cells. So that's the whole goal. If you have so much insulin because you're constantly feeding your body insulin, then you're never going to reach those fat goals or cells. So that's why we clean fast. So we make sure our insulin is already low. So we're penetrating those fat cells. So that's why I just tell everybody every day, new goal. And if you make it, if your goal in your head, have a goal in your head. If your goal in your head is noon and you get to noon and you're like, you know what? I'm kind of not really that hungry. Don't make yourself eat just because you had the goal in your head of noon. Like, kind of see where your body will take you. Like, listen to your body. On
Yeah,
the daily.
that's really important message to start to listen to your body, because there are some days where even though you might have a protocol of 20 and 4 or 18 and 6, sometimes your body tells you that that's not quite suitable that particular day, and you might have to change it just like you do, and you adapt to how you're feeling, and you're really in tune with your body now. So let's take you to the window now, your eating window, Star. How did that look like? Did you restrict anything, or have you always eaten everything that you craved inside that window?
I've always eaten anything I've craved inside the my window, probably even had way too much, unnecessary stuff in it. But I've definitely had my days where I'm like, I have fasted all day long and I deserve this and I deserve this. And then I feel like absolute crumb after I eat it all because you get to you really just get so in tuned and you realize that you don't need that much food or not so much food but bad like you just don't need that much in your body daily. Like I just realize like my body functions and I feel so much better when I'm choosing healthier foods. Now, can I eat whatever I want? Did I lose all my weight eating whatever I wanted in my window? Yes. Did I ever restrict? No, I just if I wanted it, I had it, and if I didn't, I didn't have it. Like, just like you mentioned, I'll have a kind of a snack or an appetizer, like kind of how my because I started this about the time my girls play volleyball, and so I started this about right at the time of school starting. So how my day would usually go and how I would what pretty much got to is I would get a Pepsi and a popcorn or a nachos and a Pepsi at their game at the concession stand as soon as I got there at 4 o'clock. That was like when I opened my window. So I would open my window with whatever I wanted from the concession stand, and then we would be there at their games, however long those would last a couple of hours, and then I'd get home and I'd have my meal, and sometimes I would have a dessert and sometimes I wouldn't, and then I would go to bed and I'd wake up and do the same thing the next day. And I could tell on the days when I would have, because there were some days where I would honestly have that Pepsi and that nachos and maybe like a candy bar or a few bites of something else, and I would be like full and I was like not hungry. And I would tell myself like, okay, Star, you just ate some very not nutritious stuff. And that was, like a few hours of an eating window, but I just didn't feel like eating anymore. But then, like the next day at like 10 o'clock, I wanted to eat my left arm off because I I knew why though. Like, I knew it was because I had zero nutrition the day before. I had zero food that was going to sustain me all the way through the next day. So I've had those type of eating days or whatever, where I have just really learned that feeding your body the right fuel is very important. So when I tell people, yes, I eat whatever I want, I absolutely do. And if anybody follows me on Facebook, they can see all the stuff that I eat every day. But it just balances out. You have your days where, you know, you don't eat very much. And sometimes I'm kind of concerned because I'll be like, well, I was probably only like 900 calories, but then I make up for it. You know, like you make, so I don't know, people get real concerned or worried about what they had in their window and did they have enough water and did they drink enough water? And some people are drinking way too much water, and that could be a whole nother issue that they're retaining more water because they're drinking too much. You know, there's so many things to where I'm like, well, don't be making yourself do something just because you think that that's what you need to do. So don't make yourself eat if you're not hungry, even though you've maybe only had, you know, there's days where I've had a humongous protein acai bowl, and then I've had just a really small dinner like ish type thing later, and I am like stuffed to the max where I couldn't eat any more food if you made me. And then there's other days where I'm eating crap and I can't seem to shut the floodgate of garbage food that's going in my mouth, and I get worried and I wonder what is happening to me, why am I doing this? But then I'm like, I don't know, I just kind of sit back and I take a little reset. And you know, sometimes it's stressful things that are going on in my life, or sometimes it's, but if you just sit back and take a reset, it's like you can kind of reset everything. Because I kind of had, at right after my 1 year mark, I kind of felt like I was spiraling out of control a bit, because I was eating 2 meals a day. All of a sudden, just randomly, I felt like I wanted lunch and dinner. And I had to text my good friend Paige Davidson and ask her, what is happening to me? I feel like I'm going backwards. I'm trying to help all these people and I can't even help myself. I'm eating 2 meals a day. And you know, she was kind of like, it's okay. I've gone through the same thing. You just listen to your body, listen to your body. And I just needed that, like, oh yeah, listen to your body, just reset, ask what's going on. And I kind of had to rein myself back in, because I think I kind of got to like a way lower goal weight than I ever thought I'd get to. And I was kind of like opening the reins a little bit and kind of like, well, you know, you've got the freedom to do this. You're an IFer and da, 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 da. Yes, we have that freedom, but it doesn't mean that you can take that freedom every single day, you know, to eat pizza or donuts every single day. So you have to choose. And so I had to reevaluate myself after a whole year of being in it and be like, Star, what are you doing? We don't want to go backwards. And I was feeling like crud when I was doing it. So it was a really weird place that I was in for a little while, but it lasted about a week and it worked itself out. And now I'm totally back to my regular OMAD, 1 meal a day, and doing fine. So
yeah, that's great. I think too, Star, over time, our tastes change. And we get to that point where it has to be worthy. For me, my window has to be worthy or it doesn't fly. And I sort of always came into the cleaner type foods right from the go-get, because I came off the base, I was a chronic fast food and sugar addict. And I sort of addressed that issue before I came to fasting. And then I found I became a real food snob after about 6 months. And I sort of don't begrudge anybody about what they choose to eat in their window. And you're probably like me, you keep your eyes on your own plate, and what people choose to have is up to them. But if intermittent fasting isn't working for you, then the first place you need to look at, am I clean fasting? What is my window like? Am I overeating in that window? And can I make better choices for my body to be able to get to my wellness goals? So I just wanted to talk, Star, for a minute about your weight. If you don't mind sharing, what was your weight when you first started in August 19 with IF, and how's it looking a year later?
Well, when I first started IF, I was, the last weight I remember recording was 207 pounds, and that was sometime in May of 2019. And then my lowest weight that I've recorded at, I haven't seen it again, but my lowest weight I've recorded is 126. And so that's a total weight loss of 81 pounds. I do bounce, like I said, back up. I'm within a few pounds of that. I'm 128, 130. It just really bounces all around. And it even goes up to 133, 132. You know, it bounces everywhere. I don't really matter it much. I don't really pay attention to it. I don't go off of it or use it much. I never was one that really used a app either, for like a window app. I don't know if you used one of those, like the apps for the tracking your fasting, but I know that those do help a lot of people. And I did actually start using the window app just to kind of help with some of the people that are in my group, and just to track my hours to see like what is it that I do. And because, and I really am all over the map. Like when people ask me, well, what's your window, what do you have, and I really am anywhere from 1 hour, which is kind of rare. It would have to be a really busy day for me to only have a 1 hour eating window nowadays. But I usually have like a 2 to probably 6 hour ish window. But I don't adhere to it. If I decide I'm like you, I'm very picky with my food. I wouldn't open my window with, you know, gas station food or anything yep. like that.
So, Star, being a mum of six kids, that must have been extremely hard when you had to prepare meals and that sort of thing while you were fasting. And how did you actually explain the fact that you were fasting to your kids?
Well, I think I just kind of sat them down and I told them that I was trying a new diet, is how I explained it to them. And that it was called time-restrictive eating. It was a better way to explain it to the kids, I felt, than just mom starving herself to a certain time and then she's just going to eat a bunch of food and then stop. So I was trying to gear it toward like, well, I eat for a certain amount of hours, and whichever hours I choose to have that, you know, I move it around. And they just, they all were so good and they just supported me. And they, I think they just knew, they're all like teenager. My oldest one is out of the house, so she wasn't here. She's 21. And then we have 17 and 2 15-year-olds and 2 13-year-olds. So, you know, this was all just last year. So I think they were kind of just like, whatever kick mom is on and whatever she wants to do, and she's trying to get better. And I think they all kind of knew that I was in a dark place. And so I think they were just like, they were just so supportive, just like whatever mom wants to do. And so, and then they're gone all day. So like, it was real easy to just kind of get them breakfast. And since I don't like breakfast anyways, like, it almost makes me dry heave to make them eggs because I don't like them like that much. And so I would make them food, but I would have no desire to want any of it in the morning. So that would be super easy for me. And then they would be gone all day. So then I would just try to keep myself busy, or I had part-time jobs. And so I would be gone and stuff from the house. And I actually was working part-time when I started IF. So that was a huge help because it got me out of the house. I had to leave the house the exact same time my children went to school, and then I went to work, and then I got home at 1 o'clock. So it was so easy because I just got them their breakfast, went to took them to school, went to work, and I never didn't worry about grabbing a lunch, packing a lunch, getting an energy bar or nothing like that like I used to. And so I would just go to work, and the mental clarity was so amazing. That came like pretty quickly for me. And so that was like, I was so hooked on that. I felt like the energy came pretty quick too. I've always been one that's like energy drinks and caffeine pills and taking whatever I can. And I mean, I've just, there's just no desire there whatsoever to even have or want an energy drink. Like, I feel like I have more energy than I can deal with. And sometimes to even get to bed, sometimes it's like, ugh. Turn off, because they're just so full of energy. So,
yeah, that's amazing. 80 pounds in a year is phenomenal. That's absolutely massive for a person of your height, Star. People must have really looked at you, and did you find people gravitating towards you and saying, "What is happening?" And they sort of picked up on what you were doing, and that's how you got all these other people started.
Yes, mainly there. I don't know how familiar and whatnot it is in Australia, but over here, a lot of people, it's kind of, I don't know if you want to call it, it's like the next fad, but everybody was, getting the stomach surgery. Anybody that was, overweight and obese at all, it seemed like they were taking off and flying to Mexico and getting this stomach surgery. And I remember that time last May being in that same boat. I remember being like, okay, all these guys are going and they're getting this stomach surgery, their stomachs stapled out or taken out, whatever they're getting done. They come back, they drop this crazy amount of weight. Like, I'm just so tired of being fat. I'm ready to do that. I was even asking some of my friends, like, okay, what did you do? How did you go? Where did you go? So I think because there was so many people in my really small town here that have went and got that done. And I really think that everybody just thinks that that's what I did. So a lot of people just kind of don't talk, or they would stay away, or they would talk behind my back, or they would, tell their kids something and their kids would end up telling my kids and I'd find out or something. And it's really almost maddening to me because I'm like, I was there and I understand where they all are, and I completely support anybody that feels that to go and do that, because I know that I was so totally there, but I also know that there's a 100% healthy way to do it. And I don't have saggy skin. I don't look gray. My I just I don't know. There's the difference between the people that, will go get that stomach surgery done and the ones that don't. And I just feel like you can see like the life or whatnot still in me. And I can put away some food is the other thing. So anybody that would like to question or has any questioning on what I've got done or not, that's kind of one reason why I did start my group. Yeah, on Facebook. I started my group to get, I started it for support though, for me around here. I wanted to get my story out there and I wanted people to know there's a way. There's another way besides that easy way that costs a ton of money, but then you're stuck in that way and you can't eat and you can't live life. And yes, you'll be skinny and everything will be amazing in that aspect, but there's also so much more I feel like that gets taken away from you. And so that's why I really felt like IF is the other way. It's the other spectrum. It's another way that you can lose the astronomical amount of weight like you have. You're 130 plus, 40 plus pounds. I mean, that's amazing. Like, and so to know that it can be done without, surgical avenue, it's like I needed to get that out there and I needed people to know. And so that's why I've tried to start, we've been having like weekly meetings, bi-weekly and stuff, just trying to get people to come out and talk about IF. And we just go to the park and everybody, people just come and it's come and go. And we just sit and chat and see whatever problems people may be having throughout the week and just talking about what works for one and, et cetera. So it's been fun. It's been a scary thing. It's been real scary to get my, story out there, because you hide from everybody for so long when you're like, your wife, I listening to her talk about you, how she would say that, when you would go in somewhere, you kind of would slouch some and everything, and you wouldn't really look people in the eye and stuff. And it's exactly it. I was the same way. Like, I really recluse from everybody. And even if I was at a game, I, and walked into the gym, I would walk with my head down and as fast as I could. And I would sit on the visitor's side so nobody from the town would talk to me. I mean, I just didn't want to be talked to because I just felt so terrible. Like, I was just this person in this fat suit.
I resonate with that 100%, and you're quite correct. My confidence and self-esteem was at an all-time low when I was severely obese, and that's really changed now. My whole confidence and everything else has changed in the way I interact with people. But I find people treat me so differently, Star, to now I'm a normal, fit, healthy-looking man to when I was obese. And it's sad in one way. I mean, I know the treatment that I get in shops and retail and that sort of thing. Do you find you get treated differently now you've lost all that weight?
Yes, but I mean, I feel like it's not, this might sound bad, but it's not extremely foreign for me because I was fit at one point in my life. So, you know, I got treated, normally, I guess you would say. But then, yes, I mean, I feel like when I did get so big and everything, like people, I have had a lot of people say, I don't even remember you being that big. Like when you're showing your before and after pictures, I'm trying to remember when you were ever that big. And I'm just like, I think it's because I really just reclused as much as I could. And I carried my weight really well. So, you know, I don't really think that I think that's why people are kind of like shocked when they see that. But when you do hide out for so long, you know, and then you all of a sudden see somebody, it does seem so drastic. But yeah, I think you definitely do get treated different. And my heart definitely goes out there. You know, like when I see people that are overweight, like in public and stuff, but I just want to go up and hug them because I can see them not wanting to make eye contact with me, or I can see them kind of looking down and it breaks my heart. I just want to tell them, like, you really should read this book.
Yeah, it's your passion for the sharing that's shining through there. And I'm the same. And I walk through a shopping center now and I see very obese people. And it's getting worse here in Australia compared to what it was probably even 10 years ago. But with your passion for sharing, I know you post a lot of pictures of the food you cook and that sort of thing. And just tell people about your group and how they may be able to join it, and also about your Instagram and how they can follow you there.
Well, yeah, I kind of started my Instagram actually when the other podcast came out. So it was just barely in April I kind of started it. So it's a new thing I've been trying to do. But my Instagram is lovemyifinglife. Because I love my, like we like to say, IF with capital and then apostrophe ING life. But of course there's no apostrophes in that, but I just started that because I wanted a place where I could post with the stuff that I eat, and I could find a place where people could go to see what I'm eating, see what I'm doing. Then I started with the recipes and it's just kind of blossomed a lot from there. But I do post what I eat daily and I do post my recipes daily so you can see what I am having in my one meal a day. And sometimes I don't post all my little extra snacks that I'm grabbing here and there. But and then I do have a smaller Facebook group. It's called IF is Life. And it's just a little bit smaller than the bigger, you know, the big DDD group is so huge and the one meal a day group and it's can be overwhelming for some. So I think like to have the smaller groups and to just kind of be able to ask a couple questions here and there and feel just a little bit smaller and intimate. So we've had fun people coming over in there. And so just whatever I can do to spread intermittent fasting to everybody, I feel like no matter what, I have people, I even have my mom, or you know, people will say, well, when are you going to stop fasting? Or when you stop fasting, are you going to, and I'm like, I'm never going to stop fasting. Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is just my everyday life. Now, whether I choose to wake up and have breakfast today, that's a different story, but I will forever be an intermittent faster just for the health benefits alone. Yeah.
Same with me. Star, are you at goal now? And sort of what's your maintenance plan going forward? You've got any plan for that, or are you just going to roll with the days?
I am at goal. I don't want to lose any more weight. I don't feel like I need to. And I am kind of nervous for maintenance because, you know, when I see everybody else that posts in the big group about it, I really thought in my head that once I got to goal weight, I was just going to be able to go to this really long 8-hour window and everything was just going to be like glorious. And then I remember asking Jin, what, you know, now that you've been in maintenance for a long time, what's your window like? And when she told me she starts with her snack or whatnot around 4 o'clock, I was like, Well, heck, that's what I do now. So in my mind, I was thinking, well, this is, I guess, just kind of forever how it's gonna be. Like where I just feel like now I have that freedom where if I wanted to eat two meals, when I do go on vacation and I don't have that worry anymore of like, it just seems like always in the back of your head, everything was always a worry or, oh, that's gonna make me feel this or put weight on me or I can't have that or you couldn't eat what you really wanted to have. You would eat what you thought you should have, even though it tasted like crap. And it's like there just is none of that anymore. It's just like I just ask myself, like, what do you truly want to eat? And so, I don't necessarily, I do kind of meal plan, but with only a couple days at a time. I'm not like planning out the whole week or anything. I sit down with my kids. We all sit down on Sunday night and we plan out like the weeks and it, we just, or the weekdays, and it just goes off of our schedules and it goes off of, who's got sports and games. And if we're gonna not be home that day, then it looks like we're eating out that day. And so we just literally just roll on the daily, just however our lifestyle
Yeah.
goes.
See, maintenance to me, Star, is a totally different mindset to the actual weight loss phase. And when I got to my goal, I did 23 and one pretty much every day for 15 months till I lost 130 pounds. And
Jeez.
then I thought, well, how am I going to keep this off? Because every time I'd lost weight in my life before, I mean, I never lost that amount of weight, but I thought, how on earth am I going to make sure that this is sustainable? But with intermittent fasting, I was fairly confident that I could do it. So what I do now is I do a 22 and 2 Monday to Friday, and then on the weekends I do a 16 and 8, and that allows me to go down and have brunch with my beautiful wife, and which we enjoy very much on the weekends. And it sort of opened up that social aspect that I sort of missed a little bit, and I found it's a real happy medium. And with vacations, I went to Japan last year and I was there for nearly 3 weeks. And I thought, how am I going to manage that? And I sort of just left it till a little bit later in the morning. And I basically did a TMAD most days there. And I did a lot of walking too. And I just know that intermittent fasting has my back. And if I am up a couple of kilos or a few pounds when I come back from holiday, I can go straight back to my fasting regime, and IF has my back.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's exactly how I felt. I've done that a little bit. Well, I hit about a pl like a little bit of a plateau when I kind of hit my first goal weight, and I was kind of like a little bit wanting to see the scale move and get into the 130s some more. So I dabbled in the alternate day fasting. So I guess I hate to call it the alternate day fasting, because I really only did it one day, so it's, I didn't really alternate anything. I just did a mealless Monday is all I did. But I started that in May, or yes, in May, and that really got me past my plateau, and it was so. I really liked it. I really like having those the mealless Monday where you just. It really just feels like you clean out kind of your system. And I think one really big aspect that now I've been doing IF a lot longer too is to just don't look at your fasting as a chore. Like don't look at it, your fasting time should be just as enjoyable as your feasting time. And so I think that's a very important aspect is to when it's again back like you said to mindset. So you need to change your mindset, and instead of like, ugh, I'm fasting, I can't have that. No, that's diet mindset, first of all, because you're not supposed to say can't anyways. It's like, I will have that later. I'm just not going to have it right now. And so I just think that that's a really big thing too, is just changing that mindset and just waking up. Like, I feel good when I wake up and I know that I get to fast for X amount more hours and I don't have to worry about food. And like to not have to like worry about food and lunch and this and that, it's so freeing. It really is. Like
Yeah,
it's just.
I agree. What about the science of intermittent fasting, Star? Is that something you delve into? Myself, I'm not really a big science person because I'm more about I'm my own experiment of one, and I feel like I'm the lab rat that's doing this. And I sort of understand the science of it and I read something of it, but I'm not a person that delves deeply into it. And when I just wrote my book isn't heavy on the science because there's other people that can write about the science and Dr. Fung and Jin, and I'm not going to second guess them about, you know, the science of IF. I just am a person that did it. Is that the way you feel, or do you delve into the science quite a bit?
No, I did not delve into the science part at all. I'm about like you. Part of the time I feel like kind of dumb because I'm like, people will ask me more of the sciencey stuff or really like delving into the, like wanting to know certain things. And I'm like, that is so high tech for me. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just like, that's why I'm saying like people really try to make it complicated when they really don't need to. And so that's why I'm like, I don't know. I didn't need to know all the crazy sciencey this and that. I mean, maybe if it wasn't working for me and I was trying to figure out what I was doing wrong, then maybe I would need to dive into this, you know, sciencey part of it. I don't know, but I never really needed to. And so, no, I kind of steer clear from that. I do a lot of copying and pasting in my group.
And I think that's fair enough too, Star. And I'm the same. People say to me, well, what about the science? And I say, look, I'm not a scientist. I'm just a person that was very obese and now I'm not. And this is why, and this is what I did. And this is the nuts and bolts of what I did. I fasted for 23 hours a day. I ate in a 1 hour eating window. I ate a window that was worthy. I ate a high quality food and I lost the weight. And then I point them to things like the obesity code or anything by Jason Fung. And I say to them, I could sit here all day and talk to you about the practicalities of IF, but just go and buy two books in the obesity code and Jin Stevens' latest book, Fast Feast Repeat, and you pretty much got it covered. And also, if you want more about the science, look up the New England Journal of Medicine and the studies that they've done on intermittent fasting or the analysis of the studies, particularly by Dr. Mark Mattson. And that tells you a lot about it too. So we're going to wrap it up in a couple of minutes here, Star, and it's been fantastic. But I want you to be able to give somebody out there just a few final words of motivation and maybe what you sort of wish you knew when you started.
Well, I mean, basically I would just say to everybody is, just nail the clean fast. I mean, that's just your number one thing. Get that nailed down. I feel like IF, I know, works for everybody. So I feel like you need to be patient and give it time. I always remind people that, you know, your body took X amount of years to get to where it is. So, you know, give it some time, be kind to your body and give it some time. People get so frustrated with the scale and that when it doesn't move. And I always tell people your body, IF is always working on something. So whether it's working on visceral fat or some sort of internal fat, you know, something that you've got going on that it's working, but it's cleaning up something and it's doing something. So I always tell everybody to not give up on it. And to, as much as you don't want to take pictures, take them now, take pictures in your swimsuit. So you have those before and afters, even though you absolutely don't even want to maybe put a swimsuit on right now, and take those measurements, because having the measurements lost is to see the inches that you've lost or whatnot over the time is so huge. And that especially helps when you don't maybe see the scale moving, and when you go ahead and check those measurements and you see that those are down, then that'll be extremely encouraging too. So, because just with my measurements, I lost over 32 inches in just four areas. So that's pretty miraculous. But I mean, my waist alone, eight inches. So, you know, that's just huge to me. I mean, I was wearing almost the size of my husband around my waist in jeans or whatnot. And now I'm, you know, way less. It's just amazing. So take those measurements and take those pictures and just get your mind right. Get that mindset, get the diet brain out, and don't tell yourself that you're getting on it tomorrow or you're starting it Monday. No, you're starting it right now. You can start it tomorrow as soon as you wake up. You know, it's you're fasting from from here on. And what I just love so much about IF is that every day is a victory. Like I said, with diets, it's like every day is a failure. And with IF, it's just every day is a victory because you're doing something good every single day for yourself. So,
oh, that's such great advice, Star. And Star by name and Star by nature, you are absolutely amazing. And I hope that you do document your journey one day and you put it into a book, because it's been one hell of a ride for you, and you're an amazing person. But Star, thank you so much for joining me here on the Fasting Highway today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that was so great. I really enjoyed that chat with Star. What an amazing, inspirational young woman that you are. And your passion for intermittent fasting and all those around you certainly shines through. So next week, guys, in episode 15, I'm going to be talking with Lynn Houston. And Lynn teaches in a one-class school in remote central Nevada in the United States. And Lynn's story is nothing short of sensational, and her transformation jaw-dropping. So tune in then and join us for that. And don't forget to join the Fasting Highway Facebook group and discuss fasting with some of the leading fasters from around the world. Until then, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.